Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight. Good evening. I am Mudtoe Sasquatch. This is Mudtoe at Midnight. Thank you for joining me this evening, November 30th, last evening of November. Rather balmy one here in the Midwest for November, in any way. So it's good to get out and take a little walk, take a look at my large city in the Midwest. Thinking about how it's good to be here. And how it would be good to stay here. And that's my goal. That's my number one priority in my employment search, which is ongoing. I'm happy to report that it looks like, perhaps I shouldn't be reporting it looks like, but I've had an inquiry to come in for an interview on either Monday or Wednesday. And if it pans out, I'll tell you more about it then. It would be the first interview I've had, if it does come off. So, feeling pretty good about that. And again, as I said, we'll keep you posted. I did visit my, I wanted to say estranged, it's not really estranged, the university I used to go to. Don't say it in a, try and say it in too fancy of a way. The university I attended until very recently, worked for until very recently, but I still live very near it, and I still have access to many of its amenities, including their computer labs. It's interesting, there's one big computer lab in the library, which everybody seems to want to use. All the kids seem to want to hang out there. But there are several satellite computer labs all over the campus. You go there, and there's hardly anybody there. So there's one that I like to visit in the aeronautics building, because they have such interesting pictures on the wall. And it's nice to see this is what aeronautics students look like. I gave some brief consideration. I think I had to give about 5 minutes consideration to aeronautics at one point. And the computer lab where I work in there is on the top floor. And it's the same computer lab I used to work in when I was an undergrad back in the 80s. Only back then, it wasn't a PC lab. It was there was a mainframe in there. And you typed in your program, and it was this batch processing, this Fortran. You'd send it, and then you'd go to the printout station, and you'd look. They filed the printout under the last two digits of your Social Security number, which might happen to be 13. That's 13, wonderful. You know. Anyway, I go and get my printout, and then you'd look at it, and you'd see all the things that had gone wrong with your program. And you could look through and try and figure out where to fix it. So it was a very, of course, sort of tedious process. Now, I missed punch cards by 1 year. They had just stopped using punch cards. So I count myself as fortunate for that. But it's interesting to be in that very same space, doing something much more complex in much more quickly on a much smaller machine. And having that sort of nostalgia, but modernity mixed together. So, been getting quite a bit of writing done. Still not as much as I would like to be getting done. Not as much job applying as I would like to be getting done. Although I said I did have one nibble, so hopefully that will inspire me. And let's see, apart from that, well, I was slowed down quite a bit at the beginning of the week. I was actually kind of segue into my first topic here. I was experiencing quite a bit of back pain, really ever since the drum circle I was telling you about a couple of weeks ago, where we went to Native American Earthworks, a huge, very impressive Native American Earthworks that's about a half an hour away from my big city here in the Midwest. And it's so interesting. There are a number of places like that very close to where I live. We went there and did our drumming, and I danced around like a fool, you know, forgetting the whole 48-year-old thing, and my back has been bothering me, had been bothering me ever since that time. Well, I went and stayed at my parents' place for a week over the Thanksgiving holiday, and thank goodness my mother has arthritis. Not thank goodness she has arthritis. She has a lot of non-prescription painkillers, so I had access to those while I was there. I probably should have asked her if I could take some home with me, but I didn't think about it. And then Iggy, my boss here at With Insights, had a Thanksgiving party on Sunday night, so I went to that, and then I came home and tried to go to bed, and my back just would not cooperate. It's back spasms. I've had them before. It's in the lower lumbar region of your back. Something went wrong with a muscle down there, and in order to protect itself when you move against the direction in which it's been injured, it tightens up. It spasms, and it's painful, and you can't move. It's very distressing. It's very scary, really. It's because you're getting this. I was like halfway between sitting up and lying down, and I couldn't move. You know, it's just pain, and I had to sort of will myself into a lying down position, and it was a sleepless night trying to just find that one place where I could lie down and not have any pain. So I limped out the next morning. I went to the CVS and picked out some pain medication. Actually, I called my mother for a recommendation, and then started taking it. You know, and I don't like to take pills. I was just taking pills, especially pain pills. I wrote a blog about it. That was my blog on Tuesday. It was about pain and pain management and sort of conditions in the past under which I'd taken pain pills and become problematic in a way. So then I went back to not wanting to take pain pills. So if you want to see that story, that's on my blog on Tuesday. That's machosasquatch.com. So, again, I'm taking these pills. I don't really like taking the pills. They don't. I'm trying to figure out a good way to time them so I can fall asleep, and then, but at the same time, I need them to be working for me during the day. It's. I'm still dealing, even with the pain pills. I'm still dealing with the sort of spasms and not being able to stand up completely straight because it's very stiff. And I spent a lot of time at Iggy's restaurant. And Iggy's sister Rosa was there, who he does the show with, the Monday radio show. And she has these essential oils. They come from Young Living. And I asked her, look, what do you got for back pain? Because they got essential oil for everything. And she told me, use Panaway. And I had... one time I got a kit from them. I was considering doing some work with myself. You know, I'm not a great salesman. I just don't do that well. I used to, when I was in school, I used to hand the cookie sales sheet to my father, and he'd take it to work and get it filled up for me. I never really went anywhere with it, but I have, you know, the kit with the samples in it. Not sort of samples, they're samples. And I did happen to have a Panaway. So, yeah, you should have one of those in your kit. And I did. So I applied that, a couple of drops, to my lower back, which was quite a struggle because I had to do it myself since I live alone. What I ended up doing was being kind of halfway, what am I going to say, like 45 degree. I had my body, I was lying down on the bed and lying at sort of a 45 degree angle, not flat on my back and not. Well, anyway, I was tilted so I could drip the drops onto my back and have them kind of roll down my back so I could feel where they were going. And I was reasonably sure I got them somewhere close to where. And it's a combination of wintergreen and clove and peppermint and some other things. So it's kind of a nice burn out of it, which distracted me from the pain for a little while anyway. And it was nice to smell, so it was kind of relaxing, and I did finally get to sleep. And when I woke up, I had almost no pain. Still had a little left and still a little stiffness, but I was able to stand up straight. I was able to walk. I hadn't, you know, been able to take any kind of walk, and I try and get, you know, a good half hour of exercise every day anyway. I was able to do that. I hadn't been able to do it for a week because of the pain. So it was quite amazing. So I went ahead and used it again last night. And this time I'm getting ahead of myself. I applied it again the same way. And when I woke up this morning, I had no pain whatsoever. So I'm saying, you know, as it says in the catalog, I'll read it right off, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, but I'm just telling you what happened. And then I know that there were other things I was doing before and during. You know, I was icing my back down and so forth, and not lifting heavy things and so forth and so on. But the fact is, I hadn't been able to get rid of the pain for almost 2 weeks, really over 2 weeks. And applied the essential oils, the Panaway, for 2 days, and I am without pain. I haven't been taking any of the pain pills. I'm doing just super. So I wanted to report that. You know, I kind of feel a little bit like I've let Rosa down because she wanted me to. It's one of these where you have a downline. You know, you have people working, you know, above you and below you and all that sort of a system. And I think she's gotten absolutely nothing out of me beyond the original kit that I bought. I did talk about the oils on the show several times when I first got the kit, and I've been very happy with them. What I have used, I mean, I very much believe that our ancestors had ways to heal themselves that have been that we've walked away from, really, walked into a sort of a different way, sort of an idea of combating the disease once it starts, or not even combating the disease, but combating the symptoms once the disease has already started, as opposed to preventing the disease before it even starts. And these are the things our ancestors used to make that happen. And they're great. I like them a lot. So if you have any interest in Young Living essential oils, you can email me, and I can get it for you wholesale. Or we can, you know, we can have a conversation about what might be right for you. Again, the email is mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. That's mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. And if you want to write to me about essential oils, or if you want to write to me about stuff that's on the blog, which I really like to hear from people, any kind of feedback is welcome. As I say every week, I do ask that you put something on there that indicates to me that you are not a machine trying to sell Uggs. And also certain things that can't be characterized as constructive criticism, including anything that's racist or anything that's just abusive. Beyond that, it's a moderated blog, which means your comments don't go straight through. I have to look at them and approve them first. I will not disapprove your comment because you said something negative. You may have said that there was something you didn't like. It's fine that you don't like it. I appreciate that feedback very much, and it'll go through as long as you're not a creep. So there's that. Thank you very much. I already spoke on the blog entry for Tuesday. Sorry, I have trouble multitasking. I'm thinking about something else, and then I stop talking. Let me get a drink here, first of all. Yeah, before I go there, let me tell you, I have this amazing new cup. Nothing particularly amazing about it. I just like it. And I got it at the hockey game some time ago. You know, it's the diabetes-inducing size. The one that Mayor Bloomberg in New York is trying to get rid of. And they let you, you know, it's got all the pictures for the university on there, all the promotion. Actually, it's 100 years of something. Centennial Collector Cup Series. So something has been happening for 100 years. I'm not quite sure what, because it doesn't say. Other than that, I know the... So, exactly what it is they're up to. Oh, maybe it's... Okay, all the pictures are of the mascot. So it must be the mascot that's 100 years old this year. Okay, got that. Anyway, well, I got the cup. You buy, they have it, you go up there, it's they don't even have medium anymore. It's just large and super or something like that. Or you can get the souvenir cup, that's what it was. It's $3 for the regular soda and $5 for the souvenir cup, which was much larger. You had free refills, and you can take the cup home. So that's what I did. You know, why not? And I just love this cup. I drink Fresca at home, and I often have... I don't know. I was going to say trouble drinking. I don't have trouble drinking. I mean, I know how to drink it. I often forget that I have it. Okay? It comes, my mother sends it to me. She gets, when she does her grocery shopping, she gets Fresca because she knows I'm going to be coming at least once a month. She lays in a supply of Fresca. You know, I never drink it all the whole time I'm there. So she sends the rest home with me, and then I forget that I have it. Well, what I can do with this big cup is I fill it full of ice. I have a tray of ice. And I just fill the cup, one tray of ice, one tray of a dozen ice cubes, fills this up, or must be two dozen ice cubes. Is it 12 on the sign? Well, anyway, one full tray of ice cubes, fills this thing all the way up to the top, and then I pour the Fresca over top of it, and I just carry that around with me like the whole afternoon. It lasts me usually a whole afternoon, sometimes a little longer than that. It starts to get flat, you know, then the ice starts to melt, but, I mean, it's cold and it's wet. And it doesn't have any calories. It's full of that nasty aspartame, but so far I've managed to tolerate that fairly well. Let me get another sip here. Ah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. One unfortunate thing I did discover about Fresca recently is that it spoils. You can't keep it forever. And it's the sweetener. I had to do a little internet research, but the sweetener in it breaks down over time. And once that happens, what you've basically got is lemon juice, which is not terribly pleasant to drink. It doesn't hurt you or anything. It's not like it's rotten or full of disease or anything. It's just not sweet anymore. The sweetener breaks down. So now I'm trying to be more, what's the word I want? Anyway, I'm trying to be better about rotating through my Fresca, making sure I drink the old bottles before I drink the new bottles. And they have started, I'm noticing just here lately, they have started backing up a little bit again. So I got the cup out. I got to make sure I get my daily Fresca so I get through those wonderful gifts my mother has given me. Okay, now let me go to the other thing. I was going to talk about my Friday, today's blog entry, which is kind of a special one because today is, I originally thought it was 2.5 years of sobriety, but it turns out I miscalculated. It's actually 2 years and 7 months. And I was going to write this big thing on November 30th for 2.5 years of sobriety, but I missed my 2.5 years. That was last month. But what the hell, I wrote it anyway. And it's just about the last day that I wasn't sober, what I did the last day I wasn't sober. And I won't reveal all the details here, but it did involve hiding from the police. And in that place, when I was hiding from the police, you know, thinking that some changes needed to be made. So if you're interested in the details of that, it's a little longer than most of my blog posts. I like to keep my blog posts under 1,000 words, just so it's kind of a tight read. You know, I don't want you to have to sit in front of your computer reading my stuff forever. But this one did get a little long, but I felt the story needed to be told. It needed to be complete. I didn't want to split it in two, which is what I usually do when something starts to run a little long. So it's like 1,300 words, something like that. So it'll be a little bit more investment of time maybe than you're used to with me. I hope it'll be worth it. It's heartfelt, and it's personal, and not a lot of sort of cynical digs at society. It's more just straight storytelling of a sort I don't do all that often. So I would very much appreciate if anyone has feedback to give me on that. Again, send that to the same place, mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com, or you can leave the comment right there on the blog. Again, I'll see it no matter what. I'll post it unless you're a bot or you say something really outrageously awful. Okay, so that's okay. I think I've gone over. I wanted to talk about the essential oils. I wanted to talk about my blog entries. What else would be a good thing? Told you about my week. This, as you can tell, are you starting to notice that this is one of my shows where I don't have notes in front of me? Probably have. I was thinking, I know I've been thinking a lot about Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries. I don't know why that should make any difference to me. But I had an argument with Iggy because he thought that they were already divorced. And, you know, they keep going around about their 72-day marriage, this, or 73. There's some short duration of time marriage. When, in fact, the marriage hasn't ended. The divorce has been dragging on for over a year because Humphries wants an annulment and Kardashian wants a divorce. And Humphries, evidently, the grounds for the annulment are going to be fraud. But his attorneys haven't yet said, you know, what. It has something to do with him feeling set up in the marriage, that Kim was never serious about it, that she and her mother have put that together as a way to make money and collect prizes, collect the wedding gifts, and then and there's some. I saw the number once and I've forgotten it. It seems to me it was 8 figures of cash and stuff that Kim and Mommy collected as a consequence of that wedding. And there's also the fact. I mean, there's so much sort of sister rivalry that goes in that. I mean, her sister Chloe got a pro basketball player, so Kim had to have a pro basketball player, you know, that sort of thing. I think once she got him, maybe buyer's remorse set in. I don't know. Certainly the dude has his own money. He plays basketball, plays for the Brooklyn Nets. And I saw, again, the figure has gone out of my head, but he just signed a new contract, and it was significant. So he does not have to live on her money. He's probably got more money than she does. But I think he wants to know. I don't know that he necessarily wants a share of it. Maybe he does. I don't know. But he wants the satisfaction of knowing that it's on the record. This is according to what I've read. According to my exhaustive internet and Wikipedia research, this is what's going on. He wants Kim to have to admit, Kim and her mother, whose name I'm still not able to remember, wants Kim to admit that the whole wedding thing was a setup, that she never intended to follow through on it. And, you know, he's got time. You know, he doesn't have any plans to get married again. You know, nothing, I don't know, is she going to marry P. Diddy? I don't think so. But maybe she plans to, I don't know. But she, of course, wants to get through this and saying, I just want to get on with my life. No, no. Tell the dude what he wants to hear and then get on with your life. I don't know. It's always strange. I think has to be strange being famous. What's the old expression? Famous for nothing. Shah Jahan Gabor, who passed away recently. Did she pass away, or is she still alive? Shah Jahan Gabor was always. It was said she was the first person who was famous for being famous. Actually, there was supposedly somebody before that, as F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote about. Somebody who was just presented, you know, had no sort of, you know, notoriety. She just had a debutante coming out, and, you know, she was famous. She was famous for being famous. I think that's Kim and all the various K sisters. I think that's Paris Hilton. I think that's Lindsay Lohan. Although Lindsay does have some sort of childhood notoriety. if you really wanted to throw it open, I mean, is it really do our musical stars, we have who out there has a great deal of real musical talent? Any of our pop stars writing their own music? Do any of them have a? I mean, it was Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears, and I knew I was going to forget the third one, Jessica Simpson. They all came up at the same time. And if you listen to their music, you know what I'm talking about. Jessica Simpson is the singer. She's the one of those three who can sing. But she's the one who never really became all that. I mean, she certainly never became as famous as the others did for singing. She became famous for other things. But now I'm sort of running counter to my own audience. She was famous for something. Is she famous for singing? Is that why? Or is she? I don't know. I suppose she must be famous for singing, I guess. So I guess it's not fair to say Jessica Simpson was famous for nothing. She had a popular TV show, which, you know, say what you want about the TV show, it was a thing. But what about before that? Why did she and the other dude have a TV show? The other dude was actually famous and she wasn't. That was the thing I was thinking. But when the show started, he was famous and she wasn't. And when it ended, she was more famous than he was. And that's, I think, where things went off. What the hell am I talking about this for? I don't even know. I don't know where I'm going. What do I want to do with this? I guess lives of the rich and famous for no reason is a topic that just endlessly fascinates me. I guess maybe because the people there are a lot of people we associate more closely with being, I say like an artist, someone like Kim Kardashian could probably disappear from the face of the world and it wouldn't affect our daily lives one bit. We just have to find some other TV show to watch, is all. There are other people we probably think that their sudden disappearance would affect our lives, but I'm not so sure it would. And that's when things, now wait for this segue, that's where things like this NHL lockout come in. Because I think this is proof, again, that the NBA players, I said this on the show, the NBA players missed an opportunity in that lockout. They should have just taken, because the schedule had been made up, they should have just taken that schedule and showed up and made their own, deal with the arena, play the games, and split up the money. They wouldn't have made near as much, but it would have proven a very important point, which is they do not need the owners. You can have a sports league. You can't have a sports league without athletes. You can't have a sports league without venues, but you could have a sports league without owners. And yet it's the owners who call all the shots. And I really, really do not understand that. And that also extends, you take another, the next step, that extends to, well, I was about to say real business. Sports is a real business. I mean, the NHL turns over $3 billion a year. The NBA turns over $5 billion a year. I don't even want to think about how much money the NFL turns over. Baseball makes a lot of money, too. So it's not... I can't say real business would be a business we would think of as a real business, a business that, runs factories, makes cars, makes things. You could do that without ownership, too. It's been done. We did it. That's how we did things when this country was started. We're going back with such nostalgia to what our founding fathers did and what they said. There was a time when people had their own enterprise and they owned it. And they owned the work they did. And the biggest problem we have right now, I think, is that people do not own the work that they do. There's someone between them and their customers, and it's owners. And it's ownership that has really put us in a bind. So, go back over this archive again and see if you can follow that argument from beginning to end. If you can, I'd love you to get in touch with me and explain it to me. We're running up on the end of the show. I want to thank you for listening. I'm sorry I didn't get to talk about the other With Insight shows. I'll make sure to do that next time. And thank you once again. Good night.